We've got the Seattle Seahawks heading to Dallas as 9.5-point underdogs. The total is set at 47. This is Showdown coverage brought to you by SharpFootballAnalysis.com. I'm your host, Adam Wilde. And before we jump over to DraftKings, make sure you use promo code ANGLES to get 15% off all content at SharpFootballAnalysis.com. That is ANGLES for 15% off all SharpFootballAnalysis.com content. Let's head over to DraftKings. This is a very well-priced slate that we've got going on here. So DraftKings did a very good job on this slate of not just making Dallas Cowboys on slots the primary build type, which is not common, but with as much as Dallas has scored recently, and the fact that Ferguson and Brandon Cooks were too cheap for like the last three slates, it was a good turnaround for them. Kenneth Walker being out makes things a little bit easier, but overall DraftKings did a pretty good job of pricing up a competitive game. So at the top, we have CeeDee Lamb at 11,400 and then Dak at 11,000. This is almost the same problem that we have with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs on a regular basis, but they're usually in the 12K range. So I guess you get a little bit of relief in that CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott are in the $11,000 range. Helps out just a little bit. But CeeDee Lamb has one of the highest target shares in the league. I think he's like 13th in target share with like around 27%, almost double anybody else on the team, you know, Brandon Cooks and Ferguson. So CeeDee Lamb's going to be involved pretty much any game script, even games where he has a difficult matchup, like kind of like in this one. I mean, those young corners for Seattle are actually pretty stout. You still like CeeDee Lamb because of that target share. So he's a threat for 100-yard bonus on any slate. He's going to get double-digit targets. So 11,400 is not really enough to scare me off CeeDee Lamb. He's going to be probably the most likely to be in the captain spot, even as the most expensive player on the slate. And then Dak Prescott. I'm just going to keep going back to the well with heavily stacking Dak Prescott. I did it on Thanksgiving. It worked out great. I did it 3 weeks ago. I think it wasn't a prime time, but it was a slate that I played for 4 p.m. showdown. And just, you know, on slots with triple and quadruple stacking Dak, and it's worked out as of late. Maybe a little bit different in this one because Seattle has an opportunity here to actually keep up the pace. Probably don't keep it super competitive, but they're going to keep it competitive enough to where we're probably not seeing the backups. And you know, that's always a good thing. And then also Dallas has kind of shown that they're not quick to pull their starters anyway. So even as 9.5-point home favorites, don't have too much concern with that. I think Seattle can ramp up their passing offense if need be. Then you get down to the Tony Pollard range, which if you look at his box score production, just not exciting, especially not considering he was like a first round redraft pick or second, not first, but I guess second round redraft pick that people were super excited about. And it just really hasn't panned out, but the workload has been fantastic. And he has had enough ceiling games to say, yeah, he probably could be the highest scorer on the slate, even at sub 10,000. So that's what you're looking for in your captain. They even if they're cheaper, they still need to have the ability to be the highest scorer on the slate if you're going to take down a tournament. And Tony Pollard has that. So maybe not the most exciting, but makes the most sense. Again, 9.5-point home favorite. Who do you look to? The running back that's going to get, you know, probably around 20 touches, at least close to that. And even if it's competitive, he's going to get some catches. So just keep going back to Tony Pollard and hoping that he ends up working out. DK Metcalf is strange at 96. DK is so difficult between he and Tyler Lockett. I read about it in the article for this week, like similar target shares, similar snap shares. But DK Metcalf is just always like $2,000 more expensive than Tyler Lockett. And he has had a couple ceiling performances this year, but like not really a DK Metcalf year. So 9,600 is weird when you could just get it to Tony Pollard at 9,800. And the problem is if I could sit here and say like, oh, his roster percentage is going to be crazy low because he's 400 more than Geno Smith and 200 less than Tony Pollard. most people are extremely low, but for some reason, people love to play DK Metcalf. I mean, I like DK Metcalf, but his roster percentage is always going to be 30-35%, even though on this slate, at that price, it should probably be 20, and then we can be excited. At 30-35%, I don't understand how you can get to him over Tony Pollard and over Geno Smith, but there you go. Geno Smith at 92 is perfect pricing for this slate to keep just to keep everything honest, to keep people playing some of Seattle's passing weapons. 9,200 is fantastic. It's just low enough to where you're like, I don't know that he should. For example, Joshua Dobbs, I know he had the rushing upside. We didn't see any semblance of the Joshua Dobbs from weeks prior last week, but I know he had the rushing upside, but he was 10,000. And Geno Smith has a bit more to his resume than Joshua Dobbs, and he's at 9,200. And Geno Smith is a threat for the 300-yard bonus, especially in a game where he's expected to trail the entire game. I think he's hit it three times this year. So he's going to be a staple in my flex. I probably can't get him to captain, even though he's a sharp option for captain, if you could double stack him. But I've in dabbling with the lineups, I can't really get the Dallas players that I want to fit with a Geno Smith double stack, even if I stack Geno with like Chabernet or Chabernet and Lockett, I still can't get there. And then I could include Fant, but like if Geno Smith has a captain performance, it's not going to be because of Noah Fant, or Noah Fant's not going to be a contributor to it. So really hard to get to a captain. I know some sharp people are going to try to figure it out, but I think that I'm going to stick to Lamb, Prescott, Pollard, and Chabernet, who we'll get to in a moment. Brandon Cooks at 8,000, another player I mentioned at the top of the show, finally priced correctly to where he should probably be as a part of the Dallas Cowboys offense, even if his passing game involvement isn't as robust as we've been led to believe in the past few weeks. Last week, he had 75 yards and a touchdown. 3 weeks ago, he had 175 yards and a touchdown. So ceiling's there, as it always is with Brandon Cooks, but he's only going to see five or six targets. So it's enough to where his roster percentage is probably going to chill out a little bit. The only issue is that Dak Prescott doesn't have a lot of passing options, and Ferguson's a little expensive too. Like, outside of Lamb, Cooks, Ferguson, like, that's it. There's a steep drop-off once you get to Turpin and Tolbert and Gallup. So Brandon Cooks will still be pretty popular at 8K, even if the opportunity isn't really like as high as you would believe it to be, given his recent fantasy production. Still a player that I like, but not captain candidacy or anything like that. Chabernet at 6,800 is where it gets kind of dicey. I mean, think Isaiah Pacheco, pretty similar situation. They're going to get pretty similar roles. Pacheco's always right there between 68 and 72, and he's always a nice little leverage option off of whatever the game script is going to look like. So same deal with Chabernet. Just think about your Chiefs slates. The issue is he's right on the borderline of, can he produce the slate's highest score? If he were cheaper, even though this usually doesn't work out anyways, but if you were cheaper, you could get away with saying, well, I can just jam my lineup with all of the slate's highest scorers and I'll be happy with Chabernet at captain. At 6,800 though, you need him to get the slate's highest score still probably, or at least like second. So, he does fit in the captain spot. I don't know that he's going to make it into many of my 20 max lineups, if any. But he is a candidate for captain because I guess since actually we'll build Chabernet lineups because Dallas lineups are we're Dallas lineup veterans at this point in the season, given the amount of primetime slates we've had with them. So Ferguson's right there at 6,200. He's had an excellent run for a rookie tight end. Actually, for a tight end in general, he's done quite well. I think he's up there in target share for tight ends. I think he's top 10 in target share, if I recall correctly. And even not, he's close. And then he scored a few touchdowns. He had a stretch of a few games with touchdowns. So definitely a strong option at 6,200 for stacking Dak Prescott. honestly, you're probably going to get a good bit of lineups that have Dak, Lamb, Ferguson, and probably Cooks, and then you're going to have to go cheap on the Seattle side of the ball, but that's just how condensed their target tree is. So you probably would like to make a rule, if you're making rules, to maybe lock Lamb with Dak. I mean, if you're playing really large field, then you may go ahead and omit Lamb from some lineups, but you probably want to make a rule that you'll lock Lamb with Dak, play one of Brandon Cooks and Jake Ferguson, and then maybe you have to play one of Turpin or Tolbert and Gallup. Like, you probably don't want to play Ferguson, Cooks, and Lamb, just because it's going to – you probably can't even run back Chabernet if we do that. So those are some rules that you might want to set. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is beautifully priced, another great price. We skipped over Tyler Lockett. How dare I? Tyler Lockett at 7,200 is one of my favorite plays of the slate, just because you're going to get a discount DK Metcalf. They're going to get similar workloads. Tyler Lockett capable of a ceiling performance too, even though it's a little long in the tooth and hasn't really seen one this year. Certainly capable of it. And at 7,200, he's in a weird range between Chabernet and Cooks, where his roster percentage might actually be 25%, which we have seen in the past. We have seen Tyler Lockett at 25%. We never, for some reason, see DK Metcalf at 25%. So expect, like most slates, DK Metcalf will be around 35%, and Lockett might get to like 25 to 30%. So discount and roster percentage, discount and salary, and probably similar target share for Tyler Lockett. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, though, great price for him because he has shown enough flashes in his rookie season to be viable. If this game becomes just pass happy because the Seahawks are trying to keep up from the moment the game starts, that benefits a couple players. It benefits JSN, and it also benefits Zach Chabernet because he could get involved as a receiver as well. I think he had 4 targets last week, so that would bode well for both of them, and it would bode well for people willing to go for 3x3 lineups, which 3x3 is usually the standard for most slates, but on this slate, it's going to be probably predominantly 4x2s, just because you see now there's not a ton of options outside of the top options for Seattle either. So you have 2 teams with very, very top heavy target trees, because now you get to, so Rico Dowdle is healthy. He's a nice option for tournaments if you do believe the game could get out of hand, like large field stuff. If you do believe the game could get out of hand, think Kenneth Gainwell kind of deal. He could get involved in that manner and see something like 8 carries or 8 opportunities. But Michael Gallup at 3,800 is difficult to click on because Jalen Tolbert and Kevontae Turpin are both eating into his workload. Both of them are cheaper, and Turpin's getting some designed work. Plus, you have the benefit of, if you're doing 20 max, you're probably going to land on a lot of Dallas defense, because if you're running on slots, you should be considering the defense heavily. That means give the nod to Turpin. If you're going to look at Tolbert or Turpin, well, Turpin returns kicks, so play Turpin with Dallas's defense. If it's, you know, if you've got the salary for either Tolbert or Turpin, always play the kick returner in a tiebreaker if you're playing the defense, because you'll get the double dip if you get a return touchdown. Just common practice. Noah Fant at 3,200 is someone I talked about earlier. He's like your only really salary saver for the Seahawks, but he's gonna get like 2 targets, and you could get the same thing out of Tolbert or Turpin and add to your Dallas stack. So it's just so hard to feel good about clicking any of these cheap options for Seattle. And even I wrote up Kenny McIntosh because I feel like he's the most talented backup. But he got no run last week, like literally not a snap last week with Kenneth Walker out. It was DJ Dallas. But DJ Dallas was very underwhelming with his 3 opportunities. So I'm hoping that means that Kenny McIntosh at 200 is going to end up being viable. So maybe we'll get some news out of that. I know that the team has put out positive buzz in relation to Kenny McIntosh, so I just don't understand why he hasn't been given an opportunity. I do think it's hard to believe that he won't be given an opportunity this week after how last week went with DJ Dallas. So let's get into the slate and build some lineups quickly. And we want to go with Chabernet at captain just to kind of see what it would look like, see how crazy you can get, because Dallas lineups are going to be pretty straightforward. So I'm going to want Dak and Lamb in pretty much every four by two. I'm going to want Dak and Lamb. So Chabernet, Dak, Lamb, probably throw Ferguson in here. Maybe you probably don't want a good Cowboys defense. Even if Chabernet gets involved as a receiver, I can't imagine he's going to score high enough to be a viable captain if Dallas's defense goes off. So for now, let's just throw in Geno Smith. It leaves us with 2,000. That would make you, I mean, you'd have to play Cody Parkinson, or you'd have to play Kenny McIntosh in that case. So give up the Geno Smith pairing dream and then go to my next favorite Seahawk and Tyler Lockett and see how much you have left. Okay, so now you have enough left for Michael Gallup, Jalen Tolbert, or Kevontae Turpin. You could throw any of them in your lineup and feel pretty comfortable with your lineup and how much salary you're leaving on the table. I mean, you leave 1,000 here. So Zach Chabernet, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Jake Ferguson, Tyler Lockett, Jalen Tolbert, those are all fine. And then in larger field tournaments, I mentioned this earlier, but Chabernet and JSN are the two that really truly benefit from a insane passing output for Seattle. The only issue there is, well, this isn't even really an issue if you think about it, because Chabernet and JSN are both either cheap, in JSN's case, or Chabernet can get it done as a rusher as well. But if there is, if they are pass happy, I guess they don't really need to have success. So I don't need to worry too much about fitting Geno Smith into the lineup with them. So all that to say that you leave yourself with enough for like Cowboys, which we talked about, maybe not wanting to do either kicker would be fine in this lineup, especially if you want to get to a 3x3 just for the sake of getting to it, because a lot of people won't go there. You could play Chabernet, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Jake Ferguson, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and Jason Myers and leave 1,600 on the table. And since we have a little bit of time, let's just go ahead and build a Dallas-heavy lineup with those, just to show that it's pretty difficult to get the primary options for Dallas in your lineups. And of course, this is all omitting Pollard, which you want to try to fit him. You would just have to probably gear it more towards a Dallas blowout where you get to play Dallas's defense in that case. But I wanted to start with these four guys and see what we have left. It gets really tough. I mean, you have 4K left to spend. Even if you throw in Noah Fant, you have Fant and Myers, I guess. I don't feel horrendous about. Yeah, I guess that's fine. Not too bad for small field, actually. So Dak Prescott at captain, CeeDee Lamb, Jake Ferguson, Brandon Cooks, Noah Fant, Jason Myers. All things considered, not terrible. I just can't see myself going lower than Noah Fant in small field and feeling super comfortable about it. You could go down to Parkinson or McIntosh and go up for Myers, but who are you really getting to? Like, you probably, you'd have to go to McIntosh to get to Chabernet. So for the sake of time, I might have to go into a, no, I can find Chabernet quick enough. There's McIntosh. And yep, just enough. Okay, cool. All right, let me collect myself here. All right, so Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Jake Ferguson, Brandon Cooks, Kenny McIntosh, Zach Chabernet, leave 900 on the table. That's fine too if you really want to get to Chabernet and you want just one punt option. Totally fine. And actually, you could get to Colby Parkinson with this lineup as well. So you could play around with some options, but you cannot afford Turpin or Tolbert with this build for the sake of anybody that just wants to go 5x1. So that's going to do it for today's showdown coverage brought to you by sharpfootballanalysis.com. I'm your host, Adam Wilde. Good luck on the slate, and I will catch y'all next week.